Have your Bibles turned to Ephesians chapter 5. Good singing this morning. We praise the Lord for that. And Ephesians chapter 5, you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Say amen. Good to see you today. It really is. And had a hard week, had a long week. Preached revival in Oakdale this week. Enough said. we had the Lord got us through. We praise the Lord for that. Amen. Everybody smile. There you go. Ephesians 5, look what he says. And we're going to pick up here in verse 15 and just keep your Bibles open. I'll be looking at some different scriptures this morning. And he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly." Now watch this phrase, "not as fools." Not as fools. Not as fools. You hear that word, say amen. Not as fools. "But as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's pray. Father, help me today. I just cast myself before you, Lord, and ask you to just use me. Lord, I don't know who this message is for. Lord, all I know is that by faith I preach it because I believe you've led it. And Lord, I just pray and trust right now that you would just give me the right words to say. And Lord, what nothing more, nothing less. Just help me to be faithful to what you put upon my heart. And Lord, I'll just give you the praise. I thank you for your word that you've given me this week, Lord, and the scripture was able to read. Lord, I thank you for the good singing this morning, Lord, the songs of praise. And Father, and I just pray that you'll receive it all into yourself. And Lord, I pray now that every heart would be open, every soul would be fertile, Lord, that we would hear, be listening to what your Spirit has to say to each individual, each one of us. And Father, we'll give you the glory today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The story was told of three prisoners that dug under a prison wall, and they was trying to make their great escape. They worked for a long, long time, and they dug under this wall, and they got about halfway to where they was trying to get to on the other side of the wall, and the one in the front dug up a metal bottle. And or like a jar, like, and he realized, he looked, and they rubbed the dirt off, boom, out popped a genie. And this genie come out and said, "I'll grant you three wishes. You know, each one of you get one wish apiece." And so the first one said, man, they was excited. The first one said, man, he said, "I wish I was in Hawaii with $2 million. Boom, he was gone just like that. Then the second one said, "Oh, man, I wish I was in Maui with $2 million and a beautiful woman." Boom, just like that, he was gone. And the third one was crying. Woo! He was just boo-hooing his eyes out. And the genie looked at him. He said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I miss my friends. I wish I had them back." Oh, that's a fool. Amen. I want to talk to you today on this subject, as a fool lives. And it's not an easy message. It's not a message for the faint of heart. But I want you to pray for me as I preach it, because this is hard for me to preach it as it is for you to hear it. And I'm just going to say what the Lord said to me or gave me to say, and I want to talk to you about that. As a fool lives, do we ever live like fools? I'm talking to Christians today. I know a lot of Christians who are living today like fools. And I'm not being ugly by saying that, but the Bible tells us and he warns us against that. He said, "See this, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools." As you pass your day, I guess I just want to issue a word of wisdom, a word of warning to all of us as believers, that we be careful today in this day of apostasy, in this day of wantonness and drunkenness and violence and wickedness and immorality, that we as Christians don't walk as fools. You know, as Christians, it's easy to walk as a fool. It's easy. We can step out just like that and do what the world does and live like the world lives. But we better be on guard, because there's great consequences for fools. As we look at this text today, what is a fool? Well, and keep your Bibles open. We're going to leave here in just a moment and go to some other verses. But a fool is a person, as Webster Dictionary tells us, as I looked this up, I wanted to see what a web said. It said a fool is a person that is, it means a senseless person, a person that does not have the understanding, a person that does things without reason. Have you ever done that? You ever did things without really understanding why you do it? You just went ahead and did it, maybe a spontaneous thing that you done, then you look that you did, and then you look back and say, man, how dumb was that? Amen. Grunt, snort, shake your head. Yeah, we've all done that. You know, and then that you've played the fool. And I have played the fool before in my lifetime. And a fool is someone, and God's word, I believe, gives us the clearest definition. He says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. A fool is a person that don't know what the will of the Lord is. It just kind of lives life high, wide, and handsome, and lives a foolish life. Let me just say that there is an enemy, and all of us know that there is a devil. There is an enemy that he's seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to do whatever it takes to cause you to live the life of a fool. He wants to fool you. The Bible tells us in John 8:44 that he's the master liar. He's the greatest liar, the master deceiver, and he's the father of all lies, Jesus said of him. And his chief duty in telling lies is to fool you, and he's very good at what he does. The Bible gives him titles like cunning and crafty and deceitful and all these other things. Why? Because he wants to make fools of us all. Well, let me just say that many people today live like fools and live as fools because of certain things. I'm going to give you four things this morning, then I'll be through. And many people live like fools today but because of faithlessness. If you want to write that down, listen, we need faith, and we need to be faithful. But there is a faithless generation today that is simply living as fools. And the Bible says, and I'm going to give you a verse, and I know we've quoted it many times before, I've heard it many times before. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1 says these words. It says, a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You hear that? Say amen. All right, a fool says in his heart that there is no God. Now, I was reading that verse, and a thought hit me, and you don't have to agree with this, but I thought, well, a fool says in his heart. Well, it never says that a fool says with his lips. Now, we know there are fools that say with their lips that there is no God. They're called atheists or whatever they want to say. They're big, fat liars, if you ask me. But they're fools if they say that there is no God, because we know that there is a God. You say amen to that? Amen. There is no God. Now, let me say that, but what he says in that verse, he says, now the fool says in his heart that there is no God. That tells me that there is a devil, and his goal, listen to me, his goal is not for people to necessarily, I believe, go around saying, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. That's not the devil's goal, I don't believe at all. But I believe it's a deeper goal than that, because the devil knows that even the, as we'll see in a moment, even the trees declare there's a God, the stars declare there's a God, the firmaments declare that there's a God. So, but what his desire is for you and I to go around not just necessarily saying that there is no God, but living a life as though there is no God. You with me? Say amen. Of living a life that there is no God. I wonder how many people today, right here in this place, that, and I'm not talking about Sunday morning, because everybody lives as though there's a God on Sunday morning, but we come to church and all that, and that's wonderful, but listen to me. When you go out the other 6 days of the week, how many times do we live as though there is no God out there? And in our decision-making, we live in and making decisions as though there is no God. And the words that we speak, we're speaking as though there is no God. And the attitudes that we have, we're having attitudes as though there is no God. And the places we go there acting as though there is no God. And see, I believe the devil would rather do that than anything, is to get us to live as though there is no God, especially the Christians today. Amen? Hold on just a moment, God. I know it's not for the faint of heart, but I want you to listen. How many of us are living foolish lives because of faithless living? Well, many times we need to understand what the Word of the Lord says. Someone said it well, and I read a sign, I heard somebody say this as well, I should say. It says, if you're living as though there is no God, then you better be right. Amen? Listen. You won't be right, because there is a God, and you know, the fool lives as though there is no God, and he won't be right. He won't be right at all, because the Bible says in the beginning there's God, in case closed. Amen. And now there are Christians, yes, and I believe, and I don't want to be ugly, but I know this for a fact, there are Christians right here, and some of you right here today, that you're living your life foolishly, because you're living as though you're not going to stand before God one day and give an account for the things you're doing in your body right now. And, you know, most preachers won't preach that or say that because they're trying to fill an auditorium. But listen, my job is not to fill this auditorium. My job is to fill this pulpit. Amen. And I'm going to be faithful to do that. And I want you to listen. You're foolish if you live as though there is no God. If you profess the name Christ and yet live as though there is no God, that's a fool. And why is it foolish? Let me give you a verse. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 6, verse 4 through 6 says these words. And just buckle down and listen to what he says. The Bible says this: "For it is impossible to those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world that is to come, that if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing that they," now watch this, "that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." Now listen, for a person to have come into a fellowship, maybe like this, and have heard a preacher somewhere, not necessarily Brother Jason, but anywhere, preach his heart out and preach that there is a God and that there is a judgment that is to come, and there is a man named Jesus Christ that did come and by the grace of God died to save us on a cross and rose again the third day to be our Savior. And you hear things like that, and you've come, as the Bible says, and you've tasted. You've been enlightened is the first word. That is, you come to a knowledge, and then you've tasted. That is, you've heard that, and you said, "Yeah, that's good, man, that's good. Thank God for his love. Thank God for dying on a cross. And thank God for Jesus dying on a cross and rising again from the dead." You say it's good. And boy, I need that. And then you, the Bible says, you partake of that. The Holy Ghost maybe touches you and makes you aware to all that fact. Let me say this. If you've been through all of that, and then you go out into the world and you live as though there is no God in all the things that we've talked about thus far, listen, that's a foolish thing. Why? Because you go down to the last verse, and he says, now watch this, it's kind of hard to believe, and I can't wrap my mind around this, but it says, "And they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." Now that's a fool that'll do that. Now listen, it is a foolish thing to put Jesus to shame. But I say, and I just want to, and I don't want to delve into this verse. There's deep meanings here, but let me just say this. Many Christians today are putting Jesus to an open shame by the lives that they live. Or all man. I mean, many Christians play religion games and Christianity games. Don't do that. That is a foolish thing to do. If you profess Christianity, be a Christian. Boy, it's quiet in here now. I told him Friday night at that revival was preaching. I said, I used to think that when everybody was saying, "Amen, glory to God, hallelujah, preacher, preacher," that I was preaching somewhere. But now I've learned, and I got a little older now, a little grayer, I've learned that when everybody gets quiet, we're getting somewhere. Amen. Now listen to me. Don't do that. If you profess the name of Christ, live according to that name. Why, preacher? Because if you don't, then you put the name of Jesus Christ, that precious name of Jesus Christ, to an open shame, and God says that's a foolish thing to do. Why? Because we crucify the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And folks, listen, I say to you and I testify by the word of the Lord that God will not let that go unchecked. Amen. And so many times we put him to an open shame. Many fools today because of faithless living. Let's say today that you profess Christ and that you fall away and that you backslide or whatever you want to call it. Or the Bible in Revelation, I believe, calls it many times lukewarm. You made a good profession. You start going backwards. You live for the devil. You walk like the world. You talk like the world. You act like the world. You drink the world's drink. You eat the world's slime and all of that. Then you put Jesus to an open shame, and that's foolish because of this. Because God says, you become my enemy. James chapter 4, you know the verse. Listen to what he said. James chapter 4 says, "From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" And Paul, James says, he says, look, there's a war going on, the lusts within inside of us. And let me tell you, there's a pull on this preacher today. And there's a pull on every born-again believer in this place today. And it's the world that is pulling on us, and it's pulling on each of us to suck us into its mold. Am I not right? And it pulls on us, and there's the temptations of the world, there's the allurements of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and all them things are sucking on us and pulling on us and pulling on us. And if we don't walk by faith, we'll fail by sight. Amen. But watch what he says. He says there's a war and there's lust going on in the members. But he said, verse 2, you lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Now here's the verse I want to get to, verse 4. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. And I say that's a foolish thing. Now, I know one person I don't want as an enemy, and that's God. Because you can't run from that enemy. That one that we know as Father God will hem you up. Amen? You can run, but you can't hide. The Psalms tells us that. He said, if I go down to the lowest hell, you're there. If I go to the highest heaven, you're there. If I go anywhere in between, God, you're already there. I can't run from you. So I'm saying that if you profess Christianity, you need to live by faith, and I need to live by faith, and we need to walk by faith and follow the Spirit of God and be wise and not unwise and know what the will of God is and do the will of God. Why? Because we will have God as a bona fide enemy of ours, because friendship with this world is to be an enemy of God. Now, so what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, don't put Jesus to an open shame. Don't live as a fool. The fool lives as there is no God. Don't do that. Are you with me? Say amen. Don't live as though there is no God. Guys, listen to me. We need God. We need God's protection upon our families. I need God to protect my kids. I need God. We need God to give us stamina to stand as married couples in this world. You'll never stand. You will never last without the Lord over your marriage today. Listen, we need God. We need His power. We need His provision. We need His presence. We need His protection. We need God. Dads need God to be good dads, and moms need God to be good moms. And folks, we need Him. And because without Him, the Bible tells us that we can do nothing. And all is lost without Him. Don't be a fool and try to live your life as though there's no God. Number two, write this down. People live as fools not only because of faithlessness, but people many times play the fool or live the fool life because of faulty facts. Let me go back to the Old Testament for a moment, Psalms 92. I want you to read this with me, and we'll derive something here. Psalms 92 and verse 1 through 6. The Bible says this: it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For the Lord has made me glad through thy work, and I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. But watch what he says in verse 6. He says, a brutish man knoweth not. Neither doth a fool understand this. A fool doesn't understand some things. A person who's living the life of a fool has some faulty facts. That is, he somehow fails to understand that this simple truth that there's a mighty creator. And all of us today are creations of a mighty creator, that God created you. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Amen. That we didn't come from a bird or a bee or a monkey and tree. God created you and me. Amen. That God created us. And we read the verse in Psalms 139 a while ago that He knew us when we were in our mother's wombs. He fashioned us all together. He put us together. And folks, listen to me. I don't care how big and strong you think you are. I don't care how little and weak you think you are. Listen to me. God made you. And here is why God made you. And don't be fooled by anything else. God made you for Himself. And if you live for anything else but what God has made you for, you are a fool in the eyes of God. Amen, preacher. That's the word of the Lord. He says, but watch, he said, a brutish man knoweth not, neither does a fool understand. Understand what? A fool doesn't understand that we are creations of the mighty Creator, and we are created, listen to this, we are created to bring honor and glory to the Lord. That's why you're here. And you're a fool if you don't. Amen. All right, well, I'm just going to keep on preaching, so you might as well look like you like it now. But a fool doesn't understand this. A fool. You read the psalmist and he says, oh, it's a good thing to give thanks. And he begins to go from there. A good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to his name, O Most High God, to show loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. It's good to show forth all these things. Why? Because that is why we were created. That's a fact. But the world today has given us some different facts. The world today has told us things like this. And this is where we begin to live as fools. The world has begun to tell us that, listen, life is all about us and that we were created to live for ourselves. That's the New Ageism and all these vain philosophies that are on the world today. And the world is teaching us today, if you're not happy, there's something out here we have for you that will make you happy. After all, you have to live life up to its fullness and you have to be happy. It is all about you and me. But folks, it's not about us. We are here, and I say it again, it's hard to believe because we've been pumped with so many other things that we are creations of the Creator, and we were created to live for the Lord, to bring glory and honor to the Lord. And folks, until we do that, we're living a foolish life. Romans 1 and verse 20 tells us something. I love the first chapter in Romans. He says this, and we'll go right back there to Psalms, but let me just read this verse. In Romans chapter 1, listen what he says in verse 18 through 20, and I'll come back to this after a while. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because, watch here, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, what does all of that mean? Well, he says, by the things that are made. Let me just say that God has a creation, and everything in his creation declares glory to him. The galaxies and the stars and the sun that rises in its brilliance in the east and the moon that comes up and gives glow at night as it reflects the sun. The trees of the field that seem like they clap their hands. The rivers and the rocks and the hills and the mountains. And folks, listen, when I go to places like the Smoky Mountains or somewhere like that and see the majesty or see the vastness of the Gulf of Mexico or just the creation that God has created, it seems to all just something echo in my heart to just give praise to the Lord. All the creation that God has created is praise the Lord, is created to praise the Lord, and we are not excluded. That is why we're here, to praise the Lord, to give God the glory, to give God the honor, that we exist not for ourselves, but we exist to bring him honor and glory and praise. You with me? Say amen. Now listen, if we don't, we're fools. We live in a world today that's teaching us some faulty facts. They're teaching us that, hey, listen, if it feels good, do it. It'll be okay. That God's not going to, you know, God don't really care at all. Listen to Psalms 94. Let me read you an interesting verse I found in my quiet time this week. Psalms 94. Listen to what this says. In Psalms 94, I'm going to pick up just a few verses from it. Verse 3. He says, Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? Verse 7, he says, yet they say the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Now watch this. They say, who's saying? The wicked is saying. The foolish ones, they're saying this. The Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Verse 8, watch what he says. Understand you brutish. Who are the brutish? That are the fools. We read that in Psalms 92. He says, you brutish among the people and you fools, when will you be wise? Now, he asks a question, and may I say it is a probing question. And he says, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that knoweth, that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? Now, what's all that about, preacher? He asks us a question. He says, oh, fool, verse 8, when will you be wise? And man, listen, I'm going to tell you, and I'm just being dead honest this morning. I want you to listen. Sometimes, man, I want to shout that from the rooftop to Christian folks that are living the fool life. Oh, fools, when are we going to get wise and realize what we're created for and realize the way we are to be living and who we are to be living for? Oh, fools, when will we get wise? Look in verse 7. Yet they say the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard her. Here's a bunch of fools. They're living life high, wide, and handsome. Boy, they're partying and carousing and doing the things that their old flesh wants them to do and living any old way they want to. And they're saying, listen, when asked about it, they're saying, hey, don't worry about it. The God of Jacob's not going to regard it. I mean, God's not going to see us. God's not going to get us. God's not worried about us. After all, I mean, God's quiet. He ain't saying nothing about it. You listen to me carefully. Listen very, very carefully. God's silence is never God's approval of sin. God's silence is never God's approval of sin. You say, well, God ain't killed me yet, but he may one day. God ain't punished me yet, but he may one day. God's silence is never God's approval of sin. Why, preacher? Because God never approves of wickedness. Never approves of sin. Now, I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I want you to listen. He had all the facts wrong here. He said God won't regard it. Listen, only a fool thinks that God won't deal with sin. Only a fool thinks he's getting away with sin. Do you listen to what I'm saying? I know this ain't popular, but I ain't here to be popular. I'm here to be right. But I want you to listen. Only a fool thinks that God's going to kind of let sin slide. But watch what he says down in that verse in Psalms 94. God just writes the picture. He says, hey, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? Boy, that's pretty good, huh? He said, hey, listen, God put all the ears on your head. Don't you think God knows what hearing's all about? Don't you think that God's going to hear what we say out of our mouth? Don't you think God's going to hear that profanity we use? Don't you think that God's going to hear the lies that we tell? Don't you think that God's going to hear the slander that we speak? Don't you think God's going to hear the harshness, the way we speak to our spouses? Don't you think God's going to hear? That's what he says. And then he says, he that formed the eye, shall he not see? Huh? Listen, you can't crawl in a hole and pull up the dirt over your head and think that God won't see you or me. Because we can't hide from God. We said that a while ago. We somehow think that we leave the confines of these four walls and we get outside there in the world and get in our truck or get in our places of work or wherever and we are getting party joints wherever we're going to be. That somehow, some way, that God's eyes are veiled from us, that he cannot see us. God sees us wherever we are, and that's why we got to be careful not to live a foolish life, because God's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, the Bible says, and he's watching. Amen. And we talk about Santa Claus. You better not pout. You better not cry. You know, because Santa Claus is coming tonight. He's watching you. Remember the song? I ain't going to sing it for you. I'll spare you. But he's watching us, you know. Me and my brother used to get up for the TV, and boy, they had a Santa Claus there with a telescope on the TV. And boy, we'd get up in front of that little globe. Oh, Santa, look at me, you know. And he'd go to calling names at random. Boy, if he said Jason, I'd go through the roof, man. Man, he saw me, man. But you listen to me with all seriousness. God sees us. And I say that, listen, I preach this because I love you. Like Mark said, I love you. I just get up here and lie to you. But I love you enough to tell you the truth that no matter where we go, no matter how we are, no matter how we act, this sort of sober us to know that the eyes of the Lord are upon us. And you'll never escape that. He made the ears, and yes, he hears. He made the eyes and put them in the sockets, and God sees. And then he says, and he that chasteneth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? That is, we may think we can outwit God. We may think we can outsmart God. We may think that, you know, well, I can do this behind the corner, behind the scenes, or behind the curtains, or behind the, you know, the walls, and God never know. Listen to me. There's nothing that God does not know. There's nothing God can learn. He knows everything. Amen? So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, we better get the facts right. He said, oh, fools, when are we going to be wise? When are we going to be wise and quit living like fools? When are we going to be wise as God's people and declare with all of our heart and every unction and function in our body that, hey, listen, drunkenness is wrong, and fornication is wrong, and adultery is wrong, and greed is wrong, and pride is wrong, and anger is wrong, and unfaithfulness is wrong, and idolatry is wrong, amen, and complacency is wrong, and a cavalier attitude is wrong, and to be careless, what any old preacher has to say today, is wrong, amen, it's wrong. And folks, listen, when are we going to be wise and fall down before God and say, oh God, it's me, oh God, it's me that's been living the fool life. Someone said there's no fools in hell. Because all the foolishness is removed. And you realize, listen, this is what it is. Thirdly, I'm almost there, but just watch. Many people live the fool life because of fortunes. Because of fortunes. Luke 12, read this verse. And I was going through my study and I come across Luke 12. You know the story, the parable of the rich fool. He spake a parable to them while you turn, I'm going to read. And he said, the ground of a rich man brought forth plenty. How many of you got plenty today? Say amen. Amen. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou, and here's our word, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now let me just stop the reading right there. There's so much in that more after that passage. But many people live the full life because of fortunes. Many times God blesses us with plenty. And listen, you all said amen a while ago. Praise God, God has given us plenty. Hey folks, we are blessed and I thank God for that. I look across this crowd and man, listen, God has been good to you. Can you amen that? I mean, we have more than we deserve because we really don't deserve anything. But God has put clothes on our back and shoes on our feet and money in the bank and give us a car to drive and give us food to eat, our daily bread. And God has been good to us. And we all have plenty. But here's the warning. Don't be a fool with your fortunes. Don't be a fool with your fortunes. See, Proverbs 15:16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure in the trouble therewith. Don't be a fool with your fortunes. You know, and it took me a while in life to understand that everything God gives me is not for me. Only a fool believes that. Only a fool believes that everything that falls into his hands is for himself. Only a fool believes that. There are many people that are living a foolish life because they have great fortunes. Listen, don't live as a fortunate fool. As I was thinking about this verse, listen, and let me say this very clearly. If God has given you much, and he's given us all much, listen, thank him for it. And give him the praise and give him the glory. But remember what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, it's right across the page. Remember this, for to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And God, you all testified that God has given us much. Then we all must testify that God requires much of all of us. And I thought about what an old fellow told me one time. He said, God never gives us an abundance for it to trickle out of our hands. You listen to that. But that's where the downward turn to a foolish life lives. And that is when God has given us the abundance and then we somehow grab it up and snatch it up and bank it up and box it up. And then all of a sudden we just kind of control it up and just let just a little trickle every now and then fall out of our hands to those who are needy around us or to the kingdom of God and to the kingdom work. Don't do that. Only a fool will do that. A fool will dam up. When God says he wants us to be a channel of blessing. Amen? You know why God gives to you? To give to others. You know why God's giving you blessings? So you can be a blessing. Somebody say amen. But somehow in America, listen to me, and I know I'm the culprit today, I'm the bad guy, but somehow what has happened is we've turned inward. And life has become about us. And folks, listen, he who provides for this life but invests nothing in eternity is wise for a moment, but eternally a fool. Do you understand that? If all you are worried about is in investing in this life and providing for this life, then listen, you'll be wise for a moment here on this earth, but you'll wake up in eternity a fool. If you don't have treasures in heaven. That's what he said in that text in Luke 12. He says, so happy is he that layeth up treasure. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. In other words, what he's saying is that we are to be rich toward God. Not just rich toward ourselves. You ever thought about having treasure in heaven? I hope you have. The only thing we're really going to keep in this life is the thing we sent on ahead. Amen. Amen. This man didn't understand that. That's why Jesus called him a fool. Here he is that I believe God had blessed him and God been good to him and God had given him the abundance above all and beyond this man could ever imagine. But then notice what he did. He thought, verse 17, that's when we get in trouble. When we use our human mentality, when we don't pray about it, when we don't seek the face of God about it. He thought with himself saying, what shall I do because I have no room to bestow my goods? He says, man, listen, I've got way more than I could even bank up here. He said, oh, I've got a plan. Verse 18. He said, this is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater ones and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Do you see the pride reeking from this man's life? He got his fortunes. Then his fortunes began to get him because pride set in his old heart and he began to play the fool. Because he thought he could do what he wanted to do because he had all the goods. Folks, listen. Herein is where we need to be careful. Because it's easy from this point to become a fool. When God has blessed us in America and in churches and yes, in this church. Folks, listen. Oh, so much. We got to be careful because just like that, we can become a fool. And thinking that, well, I can do what I want to do. I can act like I want to act. After all, soul, you got enough. See, the problem with having enough is this, is we don't need God anymore. And what we'll do is we'll get enough and the devil will hit us with these foolish thoughts, these faulty facts, as we said a while ago. And he'll say, here, look, just bank it up. And hey, man, you got to get security. Let me tell you this, money will never bring you security. You can have all the land you want and never bring you security. You can have all the materialism you want, but it will never bring you security. But this man was trying to somehow find security in all that he had, and he began to live the fool's life. And he tore down these barns. He built bigger barns. He said, if I can just buy. He said, man, when's enough enough? Just a little bit more. And he built bigger barns, and he stored more and more and more. And then finally he got to the point where he was pretty satisfied, thinking, well, man, listen, if everything went south today, listen, I'd have enough money to last me till I'm about 85 and then drift off into the grave. Soul, listen, you got it all, soul. Take it easy, soul. Eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy what you have. And he dammed up what God gave him. And Jesus said, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then, what's going to become of your wealth? Hey, listen carefully. Folks, listen to me. When you read Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, Jesus said, what the Word of God says, God said, he said, behold, all souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. See, when you realize that, and picture this handkerchief as a soul, when you realize that your soul is in the hand of a mighty God, then just what should you and I be banking on for our security and our life and everything? Should we be banking on our fortunes? Should we be banking on our materialistic things? Absolutely not. Because the soul is God's. And God holds the soul in his hand. Now you listen to me? In him and only him can we find security. But this man did not. He said, soul, take your ease. And God said, now watch this verse. I don't want to go too fast over this. He says, verse 20, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? I mean, here it is. Man, he lived to work and worked to live and got all he could and got all he can and canned all he got and put it on the can and set on the can and spoiled the rest, man. And here he is. He's got all of his barns full. He's got everything that a man could ever want. And then some. He's got more than enough. And then God said, I want to just ask you a question. God's going to reason with him. God said, let me say, I got your soul in my hand. Now, you've dammed up all that I've given you. That's not my will for your life. And I want you to be a channel of blessing. So you've dammed it up. Now, listen, I'm requiring your soul tonight. You know why God required his soul? Because he was no longer He was no longer useful to the Lord because he dammed it up. You with me? He damned everything. Listen, I know lives like that. Got wonderful talents in many people's lives and gifts that God has given many of you right here today. But you damn it up and you don't ever use it for the glory of God. You better be careful with that. You've got the gift of administration, the gift of helps, the gift, like we see in the Bible, maybe the gift of singing, the gift maybe even of preaching, the gift of whatever. And yet, if you damn it up, and folks, listen, that is a foolish thing to do. Because God may require your soul. But listen, he required his soul that night, and then he asked that question. He said, then, whose shall those things be? It's a foolish thing not to use what we have for the Lord. Monetarily, goods, materialism, whatever. It's a foolish thing. You know why? Because one day, sir, ma'am, we're all going to die. And then, if you fail to get the blessing of using it in the kingdom of God, you're going to die and leave it behind to somebody else. And then you won't have no say of what they do to it. They may blow it on riotous living. They may go to the casino and give the casino man all the money. But you won't have nothing to say about it. Because you was too busy damming it up, trying to keep it. You know the way you keep anything, by the way? Give it away. You want people to love you, then love people. That's God's law of the harvest. You want to have friends, then be a friend. God's law of the harvest. You want to have money? You want to have money? Let me tell you, give away money. Now, you're going to go out and say, oh, he's following Obama's plan, share the wealth, man. No, don't do that to me. What I'm saying is this is God's way of being a channel of blessing. Not just giving people money for the sake of giving people money. I'm talking about investing it in the kingdom of God. Now, I got to move on. But listen, I understand what the Bible says. That we can live a foolish life because of our fortunes. God gives to you for a reason. And you need and would be wise. And you would be as a wise man or a woman to get before the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do with what all you placed in my hand? And then just obeying, and you'll live a wise life. Amen? Just ask old Job. Old Job did that. But let me go on. Watch. Number four. Fools are fools. Many times people live the life of a fool because of faithlessness, because of the faulty facts that the world throws at us. Sometimes we live the life of a fool because of fortunes, and we think that fortunes can, you know, give us happiness and joy in life, but they can't. You know, someone said money can buy almost anything. It can buy a doctor, but can't buy you health. It can buy you a house, but never buy you a home. Amen. It can buy you fun, but can't buy you joy. It can buy you a nice vehicle, but can't buy you a trip to heaven. Amen. Amen. Only a fool depends on his money. But number four, and lastly, and I'm through, many people live as a fool because of their past failures. Say, what do you mean, preacher? How many of you ever failed miserably? I asked this question some weeks ago. Most everybody in the place that night raised their hand. You've just failed the Lord miserably in your life. I believe all of us would have to testify there's been a time where we failed the Lord. But if you're not careful, the devil will use your failures against you. One of my memory verses this week that I'm trying to memorize and trying to get my kids to memorize is Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, or 24 and verse 16. And it says this, and I hadn't memorized, I'm trying to remember what I said. For a just man falleth seven times, watch this, and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. A just man, listen, a just man can fall seven times. You know what he does? He just keeps getting back up. He keeps getting back up, and he keeps getting back up. Thank God for that, that God lets us get up. Amen? And that's called victory. But let me say that if we're not careful, we'll become fools and thinking that, well, I failed. And, you know, there's nothing ever God can do with me anymore. God can't use me. God don't love me. God don't care about me. You listen to me. I don't care how you fail the Lord. Don't be a fool in thinking that God can't forgive you. We sang about grace. We sang that song. I'm glad he sang it. I didn't tell him to sing it. But God had a plan. Listen, grace that is greater than all of our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. I don't care what you've done. There's grace that can cover all of our sins. You know, and the Bible tells us, you know, and a lot of times we don't think that Jesus, knows where we are in life. But Hebrews 4, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews chapter 4 says this. He says in verse 15, "For we have not a high priest which can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore then come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may," watch here, "obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." That's what he said. He said, don't be a fool. There's a man named Jesus that in all points he was tempted as you were and I were. He knows where we are. But yet without sin, he never played a fool or lived a fool's life. And he said, don't be a fool that here's a man named Jesus, and in him you can come to the throne of grace, and you can find mercy, and you can find forgiveness to help you in your time of need. Or you can live a life of a fool saying, you know what, I blew it. And God can never, and God will never use me again. That's a foolish thing. If you believe that lie, the devil has you. You know that? Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, in closing, he said these words. And somehow this verse has come to me all week long. Proverbs 28 and verse 13, he says these words. "He that covereth his sins shall never prosper, but whoever confesseth and forsakes them, they shall have mercy." Do you hear that? You know, you're sitting here today, and maybe you say, well, Jason, I have lived a fool's life. I have been a fool. That's a hard admission to make. Hey, this boy right here, I've admitted it. There have been times when I fell on my face and said, God, I've been a fool, and I ask you to forgive me. The devil's good at fooling us. He's good at getting us to live a fool's life. He really is. But know this. The Bible says, and this is a promise, he that covers his sin, they won't prosper. That is, you can try to hide. You can try to live the way you're living. You can try to hold the double standard. You can try to be the hypocrite and play that role if you want to. You can try to be one thing on Sunday and another thing on Monday or Friday. But you'll never prosper that way. Do you hear that? Say amen. That's what the Word of God said. You will never prosper that way. But then he said, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is God giving to you what you don't deserve. You know what fools deserve? They deserve death. Fools deserve cursings. Fools don't deserve anything. But God says, if you confess and forsake, then you will find mercy. Now, you can't beat a deal like that. You know that? You can have it if you want it. Nobody's excluded. It's right there. You can act like I've never said anything right now. You can act like God has not even spoke to you right now, and you'll be a fool. Or you can be wise. You listen? You can be wise and just get real and true with God. And say, Lord, here I am. I've lived a fool life. And I confess my sins and I forsake them. And I ask you for mercy. And God says, I'll have mercy. And he'll show grace. Amen. I want you to bow your head this morning. Thank you. I love you in Christ. Only a fool believes that God is not merciful. How many of you today in this place, nobody looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed,